Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. A tax collector was just about the worst thing that you could be in first century Palestine. Whenever somebody wanted to refer to the lowest of the low, the very bottom of the social heap, the worst breakers of God's laws, they'd use the shorthand tax collectors and prostitutes. The reason is because tax collectors were extortionists and thieves who had chosen to side with the oppressive Roman government. They were collaborators who were actively insisting in the oppression of their own people. They were the ultimate sellouts, betraying their own kin for the sake of greed. Which is why it was so shocking that Jesus would hang out with these people, would be seen in public with them, and would be seen eating with them. It was scandalous behavior, especially for one who had a reputation of being a holy man. How could he claim to be a man of God, yet still be friendly with these people who had turned their backs on everything that it meant to be a children of Israel? And this is what leads two different groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who were natural enemies of one another, to combine forces and try to trap Jesus. The Herodians were Roman collaborators, too, just the kind who didn't get their hands dirty. These were the people who were going to get very upset if Jesus said that it was not okay to pay taxes to Caesar. The Pharisees were the people who attempted to apply God's law to all realms of life, and who were going to get upset if Jesus said that it was okay to pay taxes to Caesar. It was a classic no-win situation. No matter what Jesus answered, he was going to get himself in trouble with one group or the other. So Jesus, in the way that he does, caught between two bad options, chose the third way out. When confronted by these two warring groups, he asked to see the coin used to pay the tax, and then challenges them both with a simple and direct question. Whose image and title is on the coin? The logic that Jesus gives is simple and elegant. If it has the picture of the emperor on it, then it must belong to the emperor. It's only right to treat his property accordingly and return it to him. And the same, he reasoned, must be true for God as well. If it is made in the image of God, then it must belong to God. This is why Jesus is not willing to turn his back on the worst of the worst and the lowest of the low, because they too are made in God's image. They too are worthy being returned to the one to whom they belong. No matter what sins they have committed, no one is beyond God's love. Nor does it mean that Jesus is content to leave them that way, either. The Jesus who invited himself to dinner with Zacchaeus is the same Jesus who inspired him to repent of his ways. The Jesus who called to Matthew sitting in his tax booth is the same Jesus who converted to him to proclaim the gospel. The good news here is that Jesus sees within each one of us the image and likeness of God stamped into our hearts and into our souls. The good news is that Jesus recognizes within each one of us a child of God who is worth redeeming. The hard news is that now that we know it, Jesus expects us to act like it. It's not enough to possess within us the image of God. Jesus calls us back to the love and the will of God. With the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, with the grace of God at work within it, he asks us, he challenges us to see that image of God, not only within ourselves, but within every person that we meet. Now, I don't know about you, but this can be a real challenge for me. It's hard to remind myself of this when someone cuts me off in traffic or is rude to me in the grocery store. And it's hard for me to remember that right there before me is a child of God. And yet that's what Jesus reminds us. It is a discipline to cultivate, a holy habit to instill within us. To look at the other, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, and to recognize within them a human made in the image and likeness of God. In these days of turmoil and political division, when we see people demonized and attacked on all sides of the spectrum, this is a word we need to hear more now than ever. That God loves you and me, and even that guy who is planning to vote for the other candidate, whoever that may be. Render unto Caesar, Jesus reminds us, that which belongs to Caesar, but render unto God that which is God's. Amen.